Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Our guest on today's This Week in America, Dr. Mitchell Wick, has been nominated as International Scientist of the Year in 2006 by IBC. He's been featured in Who's Who in the World, Who's Who in Science and Engineering, a Dictionary of International Biography, and 2,000 Outstanding Intellectuals in the 21st Century. Recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2017 by Marquis Who's Who for excelling in two different disciplines. Dr. Wick is a retired physician who, besides being a board-certified physician, had undergraduate studies in chemistry, including research in polymers at the University of South Florida. He's written 12 books, including the highly acclaimed Megaphysics II, An Explanation of Nature, The Equation of Everything in Terms of Cosmology, Strings, and Relativity, a comprehensive mathematical exposition of how one-inch-long equation space-time is directly proportional to space and inversely proportional to mass, can be used to explain all phenomena of nature. And Dr. Mitchell Wick is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Wick, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
I am looking forward to this. I'm going to learn something in the program today, and I think people at home will as well, as we have a chance to discuss the books that you've written. We'll talk about all of them. I want to focus for a minute here on Megaphysics II, An Explanation of Nature. What was the inspiration? What was it that led you to write this volume?
Well, it was twofold. First of all, when I was practicing medicine, I was very interested in the work of Dr. Michio Kaku, who started string theory, and he said he was looking for a one-inch equation to explain everything in nature. So I started buying books on string theory, and I saw they were looking for a configuration of space-time to get the quantum ground state in a relativistic universe. I worked on it. I worked on the math. Before you know it, I had enough for a book. I sent it to multiple libraries. It got it to Harvard and Oxford's libraries. And then I kept writing and reading and writing.
And it's made such a difference. The book is receiving excellent reviews. It's really groundbreaking in so many areas. And we'll give you information where the book is available as we're talking during the program. How long did this research take you? How long did it take before you formulated everything for the book?
Well, for the first book, it took about a year and a half. But I've been doing it now on and off for the last 20 years.
It's just...
I work on it almost every day.
Now, are you coming up... Obviously, you're making progress. Talk about that, because the work has to be slow, methodical. You hit probably a lot of dead ends, and you have to go back and sort of regroup. Talk about the research, the painstaking research that goes into these developments.
Well, basically, I have multiple books in a library at home, and I use the internet a great deal. And then I take out plenty of paper and plenty of pens, and I take formulas, and I play around with them, and I try to use mathematics as a tool to get to an objective. Now, the idea is, when you're making a theory, you start with the assumption that the theory is correct, and then you try to prove it wrong. And the longer it takes to prove it wrong, the more likely it is right.
Interesting, sort of behind the scenes as we go into the mind of one of the world's top researchers and scientists. I want to just take a second to talk about this background. I mentioned the award you received for two disciplines. A highly recognized and renowned doctor as well as a scientist. When did you find time to sleep during your career with everything you had going? Well, yes, yes. And I obviously, you were, you know, working with patients is one thing. Working with the trying to go through and to follow through on these principles is another. And I want to go back. We talked about the 1-inch equation of everything. Why was that so important to you? And why is that so important to all of us, to society?
Well, it was important to me because it was a problem that had to be solved for a specific scientist, and I wanted to be the one to solve it. And it's important for the world because, in a way, it gives you information which science needs. Like, for example, when it measures space-time curvature for the entire universe. Right now, there's something called the LIGO Project, which has two repeater the LIGO Project measures gravity waves, and that's space-time curvature. And right now, they're looking to see changes in curvature of space-time in space, like around black holes.
Oh, yes.
To determine, you know, what's out there. And I postulated that there's a black hole at the site of the Big Bang, which happened 13.7 billion years ago. And that should have a rotational vector in space-time that should show up in the LIGO Project. But, you know, the universe is 10 to the 10th power light years wide. And I had a mathematical prediction for my equation that space-time curvature in the universe is 5 times 10 to the minus 29th power radians, where a radian, 2 pi radians is 360 degrees, and a 5 point times 10 to the minus 29 radians is almost zero. And that's why most of the universe, when measured, appears not to have any curvature at all. Most of the curvature is around the event horizons of black holes. And the LIGO Project can back up a lot of my math about space-time curvature.
It's just fascinating what Dr. Wick has done and continues to do. The one book specifically we're talking about is Megaphysics 2, An Explanation of Nature, the Equation of Everything in Terms of Cosmology, Strings, and Relativity. One website to go to for more information is theequationofeverything.com. I'll give you that as we go through the program. Books available, Author House, all of the usual places. And again, we'll have that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You mentioned the Big Bang. Let's talk about that. That's something that captures everybody's attention. You talk about the Big Crunch and then the Big Bang. Talk about what you found in looking into those.
Well, the Big Bang probably occurred, but it was not the first event. It was probably a Big Crunch before the Big Bang, and the contents of space in the Big Crunch was transformed into the contents of space of the Big Bang in our universe. Now, space-time outside of our universe exists as what's called a perfect fluid, and the Big Bang is like a current or a jet stream of space-time from our universe into an ocean of space-time in other universes and around other universes, primarily through what's called the 11th dimension. Now, the Big Bang has everything in it in our universe, And before it, there was a big crunch, but it was not the first event. And there is definite existence before the Big Bang. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I'm just taking in all the information you were giving me. Go ahead, because this is fascinating.
Yeah, okay. The big crunch is when there was a break in space-time of a universe with a suction effect to fill up the break. And that's sometimes caused by a paradox. Now, a paradox could be a time oscillation paradox, but basically, the big crunch, you know, is a collapse, like into a black hole, except that you've got 750 billion galaxies collapsing into it. Into a black hole.
Yes.
And then right after that, like 10 to the minus 43 seconds later, Planck time, you've got a big bang or an explosion, which is caused by a 50-50 mix of matter and antimatter, where antimatter repels other antimatter with anti-gravity, and matter attracts matter with positive gravity. And when you've got that much anti-gravity squeezed down to 10 to the minus 33 seconds, it can trigger a big bang.
All of this, in all of the books written by Dr. Mitchell Wick, I mentioned there were 12 in all. That's Mitchell Wick, W-I-C-K. We'll have the link for these books. The website to go to is theequationofeverything.com. I know you wanted to talk about time oscillation paradox and how that relates to maybe what we've talked about before, Big Bang and others. Talk about the time oscillation paradox.
Okay. The first event was not the Big Bang. Initially, there was an almost infinite number of completely parallel planes. And basically what happened is you had particles that move forward in time below the speed of light, and then tachyons, which move backward in time above the speed of light. And at some point, a rogue tachyon or tachyons drop to the speed of light, and the fermions, or which are what they call them, moving forward in time, mixed with the tachyons moving backward in time to cause a spin, which caused the ability of electromagnetism to form, or actually what's called the monopole, and then you had a centrifuge effect. And that caused the formation of a spiral space-time continuum, at which time later on, other universes in the multiverse were developed. And there were people like the Planck team of the University of Southern California who came up with what's called dark flow and CMB data to show the existence of possibly other universes, and there are probably trillions of other universes.
That's just absolutely fascinating, and you can go more in detail in Dr. Wick's books, and we'll tell you about those here in a second. Time is going by so quickly, so much to talk about in the program. That's why he's written 12 books, because there's a lot out there that's really fascinating reading and will make you see the world in a different way. I know Dr. Mitchell Wick is our guest on the program. One of the questions you ask, what is the point of creation and why nothing doesn't exist? Two good questions.
The point of creation was when a rogue tachyon or a group of tachyons dropped from above the speed of light time oscillation, which caused spin and centrifuge effect. And if it was one tachyon, it could have been random or chaotic. If it was a group of multiple tachyons, it could have been deterministic. So that if you're looking for the idea of a creator, if it was multiple tachyons that dropped from above the speed of light to the speed of light to cause the time oscillation, you're in that direction. But if it's one, it could have been either random or deterministic. What was your other question?
Well, and the other part was, and why nothing doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah. Well, first of all, nothing can exist because nothing can't turn it. Nothing will always be nothing. And nothing can turn into something without a catalyst. Nothing can even be comprehended. It's impossible to comprehend nothing with a possibility being that which is beyond the comprehension of man or mankind. And you can't get something out of nothing. You have to have quantum fields. You have to have space-time. You have to have space-time, which is the sequencing of events, can be dilated or slowed down or can be sped up. And if it's slowed down, it acts like a lasso and can constrict space, like a lasso wrapping around something.
Yes.
And that's what happens at black holes. And
boy, there's so much valuable information in the mind of Dr. Mitchell Wick, and he's sharing it with us briefly on the program today, but in all of his books, and I'll give you all that information in a second. The first book that you wrote, I think, was about 18 years ago, 2003. The first book, Megaphysics, A New Look at the Universe. Interesting, while you wrote that, you were still practicing medicine in Florida. How much have we learned, how much have you learned over that 18-year period? You're on Megaphysics 3, has been published. What's this experience been like for you? I mean, there's so much new information that you've been able to come up with.
Well, you know, the whole idea about entanglement occurred to me later on because they had a mention about the Hawking paradox and what's called spooky action at a distance. And entanglement answers that. And, well, you know what entanglement is?
No, explain that.
Okay, entanglement is basically when the information from one source gets sent or mixed with the information from another source.
Okay.
And the distance between the sources can be light years apart, just adjacent to each other. And what I was trying to do was incorporate entanglement into my equation.
Interesting. It's such a fascinating life that Dr. Wick has led, continuing to lead. He's there working every day, coming up with all of these new thoughts and ideas and working through all of these. Doctor, the time has gone by so quickly. Is there anything in the final couple minutes that I've missed, maybe something important that you would like to share with us?
Well, basically, that I just, you know, I'm still working on the math, and I'm going to continue to work on the math, and not really. I mean, I'm going to keep writing.
Yes.
And I'm working on the nature of reality.
It's just amazing what you've been able to do with your research books and your pencils, and keep the pencils sharp so that you keep coming up with new material. And all of the books that we have, where's the best place to go for the books? The equation of everything.com has some of the books there. Author House and Amazon, those are two places to go for your books?
Right. And then there are other secondary booksellers.
Yeah, I think if you Google Dr. Mitchell Wick, you should be able to get a lot of that information. And again, the website for the books we were talking about during the conversation today, theequationofeverything.com. And we'll have all of this up on our website. Dr. Wick, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program, to get behind what makes that mind tick and how you've been able to come up with so many startling revelations over the course of your career. It's been an honor. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Dr. Mitchell Wick, the book specifically we're talking about, but there's so many more. This one is Megaphysics 2, An Explanation of Nature, The Equation of Everything in Terms of Cosmology, Strings, and Relativity.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
by the way, you forgot to mention a bit at BarnesandNoble.com.
That's
also by the way there.
Great. That's another place. You've got BarnesandNoble.com. You've got Amazon.com, TheEquationOfEverything.com, the usual places. And if you're looking for more information on Dr. Wick, you could Google Dr. Mitchell Wick. Doctor, again, a pleasure having you with us on the program. Thank you for spending some time with us. And all this information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.